Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, for we know God is good and all the time. And we also know that God has called us with three commands, and every Sunday you are going to hear this until the day I am removed from this place, that God has called us to love Him, love others, and go. Can I get an amen? Because in those three truths, the entirety of the Scriptures comes together. And today, we're going to examine some of that in light of God's Word and just how deception comes into our world. So small, but yet when we receive it, it turns into something far bigger. And we have to watch that because it becomes an evil that literally can tear us away from the reality of Christ in our lives. So today, I want you, if you would with me, to turn to 2 John. The book of 2 John. Now, I told you I'm going to be preaching on the shortest books of the Bible here for a couple of weeks, and I am going to continue that. 2 John is the second shortest book in the Bible, and it has 245 Greek words that make up that book. The first one was 3 John, and that had 219. These books are short, but they are packed with a truth that the church needs to hear, needs to hold to. That's why they're here. They are truly a warning unto us and what do they call that? This is something that you need to pin to your faith wall, okay? This is one of those deals where this ought to be pinned in your Bible, that this is something you're constantly going back and checking over time as you walk in the Lord. Why do I say that? Well, because I have to look at what's happening in our world and how much the gospel has been compromised over the centuries. You see, it didn't just happen one day 50 years ago. This has literally been going on since the beginning of the church. And oftentimes we don't think about that. But this thing that we're going to talk about today still continues to this day. So let us get into the Word of God and let us see what the apostle is speaking to us about. From the first verse of 2 John, "The elder to the chosen lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Now, as John opens this piece that he is getting ready to speak to this woman, in your study Bible, it says, well, it may be a lady, it may be a church. One of the things that we need to understand is, how do you interpret Scripture? When you are reading the Scripture, if it is talking about a lady and her children, is it talking about a lady and her children, or is it talking about the church and the congregants? Lady in the church, unless the context tells you otherwise. So when we look at this, this is a personal letter towards a saint in the church who's having some difficulty. But this lady is a lady of truth, and her children are children of truth. What does that mean? They have believed the Word of God. They have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? The gospel is very simple, that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was dead, crucified, and buried. On the third day, He rose from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, to which we owe all glory, because in that is our salvation. Can I get an amen? That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that gospel, that He paid your price, and you receive that and repent of your sins, you are saved. Plain and simple. We want it all to be so difficult, right? So pastor's done preaching and we can all go home. We all got it. That's not the way it works. Because deception has a way of trying to come in at any kink, any crack, any moment that we do not protect ourselves. And it comes in through the very church that we adhere to. The one thing I need to remember is there are many churches. There is not just one church. There are many churches, small c. There's one capital C church. And that church is the church of Jesus Christ. And that is my goal as your pastor, is to have us understand that we are part of the capital C church. That we believe the very truth that I just spoke to you. That this dear lady was believing and something happened in her life and something began to encroach upon her. Because it will encroach upon each and every one of us. And it's understanding that reality. So I must go on. It says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Gee, does that sound familiar to you folks? Because it starts with the love of the Father, amen? And then it goes to the love of others. And then we go with that message. And isn't it so amazing? In this little book, we already find who we are supposed to be and who we're supposed to follow. Well, this dear saint, how many of you can say, yes, some of my children are walking with the Lord? You know, I think that's wonderful because our goal is that all of our children would walk in the Lord. Can I get an amen out of the house? But they get to make their choices. And so does the rest of the world get to make their choices. And whether you realize it or not, you're making a choice every day that you wake up and you begin to follow Christ. When you say your first prayer, you've chosen yet again to go into that day. So whether you get up in the morning and you say, oh no, here we go again. Or you say, good morning, Lord, what's in store today? Is going to guide the way your life goes throughout that day. How many of you are figuring that out now? You can either greet the day or the day can beat you down. You get to choose. And I pray that we all choose wisely, that we choose the truth. That we choose the fact that God's mercies are what? Old and stale every day. No, they are fresh and new every morning. And when we walk into that freshness, into that newness, we can love one another in a wonderful manner. Even if something wrong has happened. But we have to watch what? Ourselves. How many of us live in a world that likes to point fingers at everything and everyone else except itself? Don't we all live in that world? I have to chuckle because that is our world. Everybody else is wrong. I'm okay. No, we're not. We're all a mess. And that's the one thing that I love about the truth of my Savior. I need him every day. Can I get an amen out of the house? We need him every day. He's the one who keeps me straight. His truth allows me to love one another. His truth brings me to the place of being able to console my children and now my grandchildren in the graces and mercies of the Lord and all those that I would meet and come in contact with. Do you see how this all bleeds through from loving God to loving others because of a love relationship that has been poured out upon us? Because Jesus Christ is, because Jesus Christ was, and because Jesus Christ always will be. It's understanding the eternality of our salvation. And that eternality depends upon the man Jesus Christ, the God Jesus Christ, coming into this world, living a life, and giving it for each and every one of us. That's what John understood. That's what this lady understood. And that's the salvific grace that we all walk in. But something happened to this dear saint. What began to happen to this dear saint? From verse 6. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Something was going on in this day and age. It was called Gnosticism. And in Gnosticism, there are several beliefs that we have to watch out for yet this day. The origins of Gnosticism, which means knowledge, Gnostis means knowledge, was a set of diverse religious movements that emerged in the first century AD. And it emphasized knowledge over relationship. It emphasized spirituality over reality. And it was very exclusive. You had to have an elite knowledge to be able to understand what was being said to you. How many of you have an elite knowledge of the Bible? Every one of your hands ought to be in the air. Because the elite knowledge you have is by the Spirit of God as you read and believe the very Word of God. But that's not what they're talking about, is it? No, it's talking about somebody has to teach you. Because we've heard this before. Well, the truth is in there, but you have to know where to find it. I'm sorry, this is the truth. It's not just in there, it is the truth. In the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word and this is the Word. And this is where we live and have our being. You see, there are many churches out there that will take license with all the different things. And, well, you know, you don't have a theological education. And, you know, we need to be the ones to discern what truth is and what was myth. And you know, that's why I said, when it says here about this lady and her children, was it talking about a church or was it talking about a lady and her children? It was talking about a lady and her children. We interpret Scripture the way Scripture tells us to interpret it. We don't add to it or take away from. Can I get an amen out of the church? The Scripture tells us what to believe. We don't tell it what it says. And that's the problem that we find in our world today. Because much of the church is pulling things away and say, well, you know, that was written 2,000 years ago, and it was a different era, and, you know, things are different now. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and God does not change. Who is supposed to change? Amen. And the problem is, if that's the case, then God's in control and not me. And what happens to a man who's not in control? He has nothing to give. Praise Jesus. Because I don't want to give you anything because I'm a sinful man. I am a sinner the same as any human being on the face of this planet. But I know one who is sinless and I want to follow him. Can I get an amen out of the house on that matter? And that's what we need to do. We are constantly, as Christian brothers and sisters, what are we doing? We're pointing right there. We're pointing right there. But we got to remember, that cross is empty, isn't it? There's a great big heart on there because that represents the heart of God, the heart of Jesus Christ, the heart of the Holy Spirit. But we need to remember, that cross is empty. Jesus isn't on it anymore. He's now seated at the right hand of God the Father in glory. And in fact, in spirit, we're sitting right there with him because he's taken us with him. All of our prayers, all of our concerns, everything is going right into the Father's ear right now concerning each and every one of us, no matter where you are in life. That's why I started the way I did. How many of you had a bad week this week? Something just wasn't your way, and you just had to grumble and growl and gripe and complain. But guess what? God still loves you the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen? You're the one that's got to change, not him. And we don't change what this word says. And we don't make apologies for it, but we become transformed by it. Can I get an amen out of the house? When these people were walking, they were literally leading Christians astray. Today, we are still leading Christians astray. Whole denominations are speaking heresy from their pulpits. And the people in the pews have drank the Kool-Aid. We all know what that means. And it's a sad, sad day when this happens in the church. But we've got to be willing to speak truth. What? In love. Love God, love others, and go. And you go in what? You go in love. You speak truth. You don't come at somebody with an attitude of I'm better than you. You don't come to somebody with an attitude of, well, you got to change. No, we have to change. We have to change. We're the ones who are broken. I'm broken. I'm still fixing this myself. And I can't fix it without Jesus Christ. Can any of you? I don't think anybody can. But we're all longing to. How many of us want to get out of this place? I want to get out of this world of sin. Well, guess what? I know the way out, and his name's Jesus Christ. And he seats us in eternity when? Now. You know, I think that's one of the most amazing things about this whole reality. It's the very simple reality that we're not in reality. What did he just say? You and I are living in eternity right now. We are in the throne room of God right now. Each and every one of us is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And where is he seated? At the right hand of God. So when he's looking at Jesus, who's he seeing? Every one of us. We're right there. I don't have to wait for eternity. Eternity got a hold of me. And that's something I want you all to remember. This world will fall away, but we who are in Christ Jesus shall never perish, for Christ has paid the price. You know, it's funny. The Gnosticists actually believed that the man of Christ was simply a man, that at the age of 30, the Spirit of God came upon him and overtook him for 3 years. And that when he was on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because the Spirit left him at that moment. Does that sound like a propitiation to you? Does that sound like a payment of sin to you? No. That is not what happened. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. We all know it. Through what? The Holy Spirit. You know, I think it's funny because there are many theologians who have actually said, and I've had talks with some of these people, and they're telling me, you know, oh, well, you know, he used Mary's egg and the Holy Spirit comes to me. He said, whoa, 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 whoa. If that's the case, then Jesus is a sinful man because he was born of what? He was born from the Virgin Mary, not of her. The Holy Spirit didn't need her egg. Well, how did that happen? Well, did he use Joseph's sperm? No. What did he use? The very same thing he used to create Adam and Eve, himself. He doesn't need anything from us. He has everything he needs at his fingertips because he is the creator. And he brought Christ to life in Mary. She was a vessel. So therefore, he is fully God. Well, then how can he be fully human? Did God not make the first humans? You don't think he can do it again? He could wipe us all out and start all over. That's not the case. Jesus had to come the way we come, because this is how we now come into the world, because of what? Procreation. So Jesus needed to be procreated just as we are procreated. And in that we find our salvation, that he was God-man from before birth. What? Yeah, He was God-man from eternity past because he was alive before. How do we know that? Did they not see him in the Old Testament? What do we call that? Beg pardon? The angel of the Lord. Every time you see it. And the angel of the Lord was before Abram, before he was Abraham. We need to remember that these are encounters of the man Christ before all time. He was already in human form. He simply had to come through the way we come through. And in that, he pays the price for each and every one of us because it took a full human, full deity to pay it all. Now, this is some pretty heavy theological stuff. No, it's not. It's the truth. That's all it is. Jesus Christ, born a man. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Can we explain it? I just did. Because we believe by... How many of you have ever seen Jesus? Oh, I know him. How many here can say, I know him? How many here can say, he knows me? Because that's the one that has to happen. He needs to know me. How do we know that? What does he say in the Gospels? Away from me, I never knew you. And that he's talking to the church. These are people that are going to say, oh, but Lord, Lord, look what I did in your name. But you lied. Well, what do you mean that's going to get me cast out? Let's read a little bit more. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what you have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Did you just read that with me? This is understanding that when we allow, and I'm going to tattle on Brother Mitch over here because he had no idea. He gave me the illustration that I needed this morning in my office. And because he told me and Pastor David was present, I get to tell on Mitch. Brother Mitch didn't take communion this past Sunday. Was it Sunday? Last Sunday. At another church. Because his spirit couldn't agree with the spirit of what they were presenting as Christ. Had he took communion with those people, that would have been a dishonoring of Christ in his own life and heart. Happened to me one other time myself. I was in the midst of well over 400 people at Penn Central Conference. How many of you... Anybody have an idea what Penn Central Conference was? Yeah, some of us do. That's the old denomination that I used to belong to. And they had a preacher in there, and he was preaching about how he had to go back to his Buddhist roots and get re-entouched with his Buddhist roots so he could fully understand Jesus Christ. That's truth. That is the truth. And then they presented communion. It was the first time in my life as a Christian that I could not take communion. They brought the bread, and I said, I can't do this. Because in my ear, I'm not kidding you, this is the truth. In my ear, it was as if someone was talking, and he said, can you find me in this? And I'm like, how can you justify pulling Buddha into Jesus? You know, that oh, there's just one universal spiritual truth. No, there isn't. There's one Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen out of the church? There's all this other junk that the evil one has perpetrated upon us. And if we let a little bit of it in, don't give devil a foothold, he'll build a mansion. And it was amazing because those people came back to me with that bread three times. And finally, I had to walk out of the room to get away from them. And I am out there weeping. And another old gentleman comes walking up to me. He says, "Are you okay?" I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "I can't take communion with these people." He said, "Me either. It's why I walked out." I thought, holy cow, I can have communion with this brother. And we didn't take the bread, we didn't take the juice because it was inside and they were doing funny stuff with it. But we sat out there and we praised God. He prayed for me and I prayed for him and we prayed for all of them inside. It was wonderful. "For where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also in their midst." He will never leave us nor forsake. But we cannot leave him. We cannot leave the true teaching of Jesus Christ, because as soon as we do, we allow the evil into our lives. And we become partakers of that evil. This communion table is set today for each and every one of us who believe. And today I'm going to ask you to think about what you really believe. We're getting ready here to start the Truth Project before too long. Pastor David and I have been talking about it for some time. The elders have been talking about it for some time. And I encourage you, because it's going to take the place, just found out today, and the elders are going to iron this all out after church today, okay? I need to meet with y'all for 15 minutes to get this thing ironed out. We are going to be meeting on the first and third Wednesday of the month. When we finish the book of Hebrews, we're going to start the Truth Project. And I'm going to encourage everybody in this church, whether you've been through it once or you've never been through it, to please come out for this 13-week session. It's going to last an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes every first and third Wednesday. And I'll guarantee you it is going to teach you a biblical worldview. Because we need to know what we know is really real. And we need to know the difference between falsehood and light. There is only dark and light. There is no gray area. The only gray area is between your ears, if you allow it to be. But in Christ Jesus, he illuminates us to the truth. It's not a secret knowledge. It is a knowledge that has been revealed to mankind once for all. Just as salvation has come through one man once for all who will believe. So today, that's the communion we are taking, that we believe the gospel to be true, that we believe that he was born of the Holy Spirit. We believe that he is coming again. And we believe that his death paid our price. That's the truth. And we cannot subvert it for anything. Because the moment we do, we allow deception into our lives. And we will begin to turn away from the truth and hold to a lie. Today, Jesus has said, "Lest you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part with me." Today, I welcome you to the table of Jesus Christ. If our young people here today, and yes, I'm talking about Alex over here, and that's up to Ryan and Shannon as to whether they would like him to partake. I know the boy believes. I baptized him. And I know he walks in the Lord, but that's up to mom and dad. Do you get my point here, parents? You need to know your child's heart, and when you know they're ready, let them come. But for those of us who are adults, what have we believed? Do we believe what we really believe is really real? To those of you who can say yes to that, I invite you to the table today. I'd like the elders to come down with me. Pastor David and I will take the center two, and I need two elders, one at each end of the table here, that we may consecrate these elements and then the partaking of communion in intinction style. (Clears throat) Would you remove the cover of your bread? On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it after he had given thanks. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." Father God, this bread we hold, it is the true symbol of thy body broken for us. And we partake to be one with you, the very truth of who we are your child, that we call upon your name, and that your brokenness is our healing. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Take and eat, elders. Sorry, I should have had you hold that and dunk it. I'm not thinking. Take your cup, Pastor David.
After they had eaten, the Lord Jesus took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood spilt for you, shed for your sins. Take all and eat."
Father God, as we come before you this day to take of this communion, we ask your blessing upon all who would receive. May thy grace and glory follow each and every person's heart as they come to this table, open and free through the power of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The table of the Lord is open to all who would believe. In the center table, please dunk in this one. Pastor Dave drank out of this one. Don't use that one. Dunk into the center one. Ryan, as you are ready, come forward. There are four tables. Father God, we are a sanctuary. For you live in us, Lord, and now take us out into this world that we may exude you from ourselves in love and grace and mercy as we love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the church says, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.